Today's date is the 13th of October, 2017. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Paul. I'm a training with industry fellow currently at NCCPA, and I'm speaking to Captain Andre Sidorenko on behalf of the PA History Society. Captain Sidorenko is a physician assistant with the California National Guard. He's currently mobilized on active duty with U.S. Army Europe, and he's in Wiesbaden, Germany. Andre's agreed to share his story about his life growing up in Ukraine, which was then part of the Soviet Union, and then eventually immigrating to the United States and becoming a physician assistant in California. And after the invasion of Ukraine by Russia over the past few years, Andre's expertise in the Ukrainian culture and language, as well as his medical skills, were desperately needed by the U.S. Army, and he's been working on security assistance issues with U.S. Army Europe and Ukraine for the past 2 years. So, good morning, Andre. How are you?
Outstanding, sir.
So, I was just wondering if you could talk to us maybe a little bit about growing up in the Soviet Union and your military experience, and then, you know, coming over to the United States and eventually becoming a PA.
Well, what would I start with? So as a regular kid in the Soviet Union, I was exposed to all that teaching and propagandas of the Communist Party. However, I was lucky enough not to be influenced by that, mainly because I grew up in a Mennonite family who rejected, actually, that ideology and teaching from the get-go. So pretty much as far as I remember, I would always hear in my family, you know, listen what they're telling you in school or radio or TV, but don't pay attention to it because the truth is somewhere else and it's truth is different. So anyway, after graduating from high school, I was a conscript in the Soviet military and got out after 2 years as E5. So then I completed my undergrad in kinesiology. So I was not a stranger to the heavy science courses. Tried all kinds of occupations, and then already independent Ukraine in the 90s, and nothing seems to be working out for me. I mean, I was successful, however, not that I really liked. So at some point, I decided that I'm going to move out, because I realized that independent Ukraine or independent Russia, they were not country for me that I could utilize that my potentials, that I believed that I had a potential for that time. Anyway, I immigrated to the United States, and because of my friend who was working on the ambulance, so he kind of introduced me into the medical world, because I never thought I would be working in the medical field. So I started working on the ambulance company first as a support technician and then move up to the ranks all the way to be attended the ambulance. And then I realized that there is that I really like it, and that there is a lot of opportunities in that field. And it was not hard for me. I realized that, hey, I'm not the stupid guy in the block. I can do something further with my education and my career. So I thought about medical school versus, and then I learned about that there is a profession in the United States such as PA. I did not know much about it. However, every time I would take patients to the hospital, I would see the PA receiving patients in the emergency room. So I started chatting with them, like, what is it, how to become a PA, and what is it to be a one? So I've learned great deal, but let's put it that way, nothing that I've learned prepared me for the PA school, actually. Decision I had to make at that time, should I go to medical school or should I go to PA school? And what swayed me was, interesting enough, is the Department of Labor. In what sense? I went to the Department of Labor website and I started looking at the workload, work hours per week, and compensation for MD versus PA. And what I've learned, it's funny, but what I've learned is physician will usually work 60 hours on a week, which versus physician assistant works 32 hours a week. So that already swayed my decision towards PA school. And plus, compensation was not a huge difference. Like, almost like two-thirds of physician pay I would get as a PA. So my math was simple. 32 hours, if I wanted some extra money, I would work up to 60 and would make as much as the doctors do. That was my assumption. So anyway, applied to PA, got in on the first try. since I was already worked on the ambulance for 8 years. So I got in the first try with no issues and graduated with the highest GPA in my program. Almost killed my board with an almost perfect score on the PA board. And started working in the emergency room because being a medic on the ambulance, there was no other fields but the emergency room. I did not even know about the other fields. I'm joking, but I knew, of course, but I loved emergency medicine. So I started working in the emergency room, and I realized that I had only 10 shifts. They were long shifts, 15-hour shifts, but I had like 20 days off. And being me, I cannot sit in one slot. I need to do something, and I need to feel that I'm doing something useful and important. I started looking around. So where do I go? Do I become volunteer in the fire department, police department? So I was looking for a venue to be more, to contribute more to the society. And one of my great teachers, he's also major in the California National Guard. He's also a PA, Jed Grant. He was my example, and I always looked up to him. He actually suggested that, hey, why don't you try U.S. Army? It would never cross my mind because, you know, being a former soldier of Soviet Union Army, and now I'm going to apply for U.S. Army, that's something that never crossed my mind at that time. Anyway, I did, and actually a recruiter came back to me like, hey, you seems like to be a good candidate. So that's how I got myself into United States military. And it felt great. I felt like I'm giving back to the country that took me in and gave me this opportunity and education. So it felt great. Like, very first night when I was in the training area with the Field Artillery Battalion and all those hills that were on fire, illuminated, it felt like I was home, finally. It felt like I belonged there. Anyway, after working and serving in the National Guard for a few years, there was an opportunity for me to go. Actually, I was voluntold to go on a mission to Ukraine. My brigade commander kind of voluntold me for that. And I ended up being in Ukraine with the 79th IBCT from California National Guard, being their provider for 12 months. And I enjoyed being semi-independent there, working alongside with Canadian counterparts and treating NATO soldiers, Poles, Lithuanians, Great Britain, American, Ukrainian. So it was a great environment, and I've learned a lot, and I grew a lot as an officer and as a provider. At the end of my tour in Ukraine, I was about to go back to California, but then senior PA, European PA, Lieutenant Colonel Johnny Paul, offered me, actually invited me to be a part of the team at the search of USRA. I've hesitated a lot, so Lieutenant Colonel Paul remembers that I would announce for a couple months about that position. So I had a lot of hesitation because I was never a staff officer. I was always a clinician. So I had my fears and doubts about myself going and joining that team. However, once I got in and realized how great the team is and friendly and supportive, transition became really, really much easier than I expected. Let's put it that way. So I'm here already for 8 months, and even we have a huge turnover and change in leadership, the mission is still the same. How can we support our Eastern European partners and our European allies in NATO? And I'm actually being very grateful and honored to be a part of the team and be able to contribute. And also, I'm also happy to have an opportunity to grow as an officer, as a person, and as a provider. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
Yeah, one thing that I found very interesting when talking to these casualties in Ukraine, and a lot of them had said that you were responsible for them being kind of saved on the battlefield, because not only were you the provider for that infantry battalion, but you ended up teaching combat lifesaver and tactical combat casualty care skills to those Ukrainian soldiers rotating through the training area. And did you take that upon yourself, or how did that work out?
When I got on the ground, we had two PAs. One is from PAD Battalion from 315, Captain Mims, and I was a brigade PA. for 79th, and we got on the ground. We realized that we were also responsible for teaching CLS type course for rotating Ukrainian battalions. So each battalion had a course, or actually curriculum of 55 days of training, and tactical medical training was 5 days. So we realized that slides were loosely translated. Training material did not exist. POI did not exist. So I took it upon myself. I've actually volunteered for that because I was in a position to do that. We translated a bunch of slides, actually required slides. We culturally adapted them that Ukrainians would understand and receive. And since we were short on interpreters and translated at that time because the mission just kicks off, it was easier for me to teach because I did not require any interpretation. So I could teach and answer questions on spot, that which would cut down the teaching time. Because if you have a 5 days curriculum by utilizing interpreter, it is already double the time. So now you're looking at the 10 days of curriculum. So by me doing it, we cut down all this interpretation time, and it was very well received by Ukrainians because I could talk in their own language and I could understand the concern and questions. And we started developing instructors among the Ukrainians. So we ended up pretty much in the 12 months after four rotations, we had Ukrainian CTC medical instructors teaching their own course with just our own supervision. Those battalions would, after being trained in a training area, they would go back to ATO. And we would invite them a couple of months later for the lessons learned, and that's how we learned that one of the main important skills that they've learned in the training during a training with us was combat life-saving skills. As the one of the examples, deputy of the Surgeon General was visiting Lviv's military hospital, and we had a chance to visit one of the casualties that were just brought from ATO. And he was at ICU room, and he agreed to meet with us and talk to us. So when we walked in the room, he immediately recognized me. I didn't remember him, honestly. But he immediately recognized me, and he said, because my unit was taught medical evacuation, combat life-saving skills, my unit knew exactly what to do, and they saved my life because of those skills. So it was kind of reinforcing and encouraging what we do out there.
That's really interesting. And then just changing the topic a little bit, when you're not on active duty, you still continue to work in the emergency room in California?
Yes.
And do you ever...
I work in the... Yes.
Do you ever run into Ukrainian-speaking patients there? I know
Central California has a fair amount of Ukrainians. Sacramento has around 80,000, and Fresno alone has 6,000 Ukrainians. So I run into them quite often. And also, if there is a patient in the hospital and there is no interpretation available, all the providers in the hospital know that I'm on the shift. And so maybe twice a month, I get pulled aside and helping out with Ukrainian patients, even if they're not my patients. But it's much easier to ease them with emergency room environment. Because usually people are scared, in pain, embarrassed, and they're in the ER, and they see friendly face, and they're speaking their language. It's kind of eased them down.
Well, I mean, you really have an interesting story, and not a typical PA story, which is why I want to interview you. And I was just wondering if you have any kind of final thoughts for maybe future PAs or PA students, or maybe even military PAs, or people who are coming to the U.S. that are thinking about going to the PA program.
If I may, I would add only one comment to that, especially for the PAs, for future PAs, because it doesn't really matter what I've learned, what I personally learned. I could be wrong though, that it doesn't really matter, and my patient don't care how much I know and what I can do or what I cannot. What patient care is if I care about them. That's what I've learned working 16 years in emergency medicine. If I kind of make them feel at ease, and they know I can convince them that I care about them, there is a contact between a patient and a provider. So that's the most important thing that I've learned. I need to care about what I do and my patients.
Well, thanks for talking to us today, Andre. You have a really interesting story, and I'm sure we're going to do a part two at some point.
Thank you.